Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 90.
Wow. It's been a long journey. When the hell did we do the first one?
2006.
Wow, so 10 years.
10 ago. Years.
It took us 10 years to get to 90. Granted, there was a bit of a respite.
It's taken Valve 12 years to not even get to 3.
That's true. So you know, we're ahead of them.
Yeah. We can count. And we count better
Newell's
than Capcom as well. And Xbox. They went like 1, then they jumped to 360, then they went back to 1 again.
That's true.
Yeah, so that's kind of some strange math. So yeah, today's episode, we're going to talk about two main topics, but probably a subtopic as well, because it will derive from topic one. The first topic is the PlayStation 4.5, a.k.a. Neo. What is it?
So is Keanu Reeves going to be the spokesman for this?
Well, and then their VR codename was Morpheus.
Mm.
Right.
I think they should get the Wachowskis involved.
No, maybe they shouldn't. I kind of wonder when they're going to crawl back to Matrix.
I don't know how they keep getting money to make things, but that's a whole other topic. They've made how many bombs in a row now?
Everything since... I didn't even consider Matrix Revelations or whatever the last one was.
Oh, it Revolutions.
Didn't do very well.
Yeah. I mean, Reloaded did quite well. Revolutions, yeah. I think, still made money, but it wasn't the hit.
It was a pretty big drop. If it made less than the original Matrix.
Yeah. But then Speed Racer, Cloud Atlas, Jupiter Ascending, there's got to be something else in there.
That was it.
Okay. I mean, I actually liked Cloud Atlas.
Yeah, I did too. And Speed Racer is actually pretty good for what it is, but...
And Jupiter Ascending wasn't even complete trash. It was certainly an interesting failure to watch.
Well, that's what I would have said about Cloud Atlas as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, so PlayStation 4.5. So it was rumored for a while, but it sounds like it's pretty much all but confirmed. So we're going to talk about why this exists. I think there's a reason why.
Do we know?
It is basically, well, I think it just basically involves money.
Well, of course. Well,
of course, everything involves money. So we're going to talk about why it exists, why it's probably not a good idea, and how this will affect the Nintendo NX and the Xbox One. Xbox One, I guess is what you call that one.
Okay. Well, the original one was just the Xbox. It had no, postscript to it.
Yeah. Just like how World War One was the Great War until there was another war.
Yes.
World War Two Reloaded.
Then it had to be remarketed to the masses.
Right. They had to repackage World War One. Anyway, so there's another World War, which is called World War Three. It's like PlayStation. Just put another number on the end.
Oh, and I wanted to bring something up, too. You know how we bitch about this probably every time, but about how, like, basically there's sequels and there's remakes, and then the remakes that have been successful are the ones where they kind of, like, just, they don't disregard the previous one.
Yeah.
I was reading an article a few weeks back, I think it was on comicbook.com, and there's actually a term for that, which I can't believe we didn't coin. It's called a requel. So there's actually a term for it. Other people are acknowledging that shit's going on now.
So that's a sequel that disregards other sequels, but it's still in continuity.
Yes.
So, like, Creed was basically a sequel of Rocky IV.
Yes.
And and then they want to make this. But now the proposed Alien 4.5, whatever the hell they're calling it, that I don't think that would be a requel, though. That would be like a... What would that be?
But like Jurassic World was kind of like a requel as well.
Yeah, I guess. So it's not like they didn't exist, but they don't acknowledge them.
Yeah, it's just basically a remake, but then it builds upon what was there
but
before.
But the Neil Blomkamp Alien movie that I hope never gets made, that is not a requel because he's not just acknowledging those films. He's not acknowledging them. He's saying they didn't happen because, like, oh, Ripley's still alive.
Yeah, wasn't he going to ignore 3 and 4?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was basically going to say, oh, yeah, they're still alive on the Sulaku. None of that ever happened.
So he was going to do a Superman Returns, essentially.
Yes. Which I guess was also a requel.
Mm-hmm.
A requel.
Yep. But I read that and I'm like, shit, there's a term for it.
But I wouldn't say J.J. Abrams' Star Trek was a requel. That was kind of a... reboot.
Yeah. They did the whole whatever time warp thing.
Terminator Genisys was a requel.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was not nearly as good as either Terminator 3 or Terminator Salvation.
No. But yeah, so there you go. There is a term for that now.
That's
so
great. Well, anyway, the reason we bring that up is because we're pretty sure we cannot talk about a Sony product without complaining about movies. And if there's one movie studio that doesn't know WTF they're doing, it's Sony.
Yeah, pretty much.
We'll get into that more when we complain about the PlayStation 4.5 and why it exists. So the other main topic that we're going to have afterwards is, guess what? We're going to talk about Nintendo again.
Why the hell do we talk about them so much?
I don't know.
Neither one of us has any other systems anymore, like any other current shit.
Well, I came to the realization the other day that what Nintendo needs to do is what Disney did in the early 80s. Or the mid-80s is probably a better way to put it. So I guess we could talk about that in part three. So why Disney should... Oh, I'm sorry. So the third part will be why Nintendo should copy Disney. And why wouldn't you want to copy Disney? Because they own everything now.
Pretty much.
Nintendo should just buy Florida while they're at it.
Or oh, one of Disney those should, you mean?
Okay, so the PlayStation 4.5. Codename Neo. So God knows what it'll actually be called. Maybe it'll be called the Natal.
See, that's going to be the thing. Like, I think it was the last podcast where we talked about this. Like, the smart thing Sony does is they increment the number. It's very clear. PlayStation 4 came after PlayStation 3, just like 3 after 2. But now they're going to, like, go and piss on that,
because
more than likely.
What happens every time is whoever has the most successful console immediately goes out and does really stupid things.
Yes.
Nintendo did it. Microsoft did it with the Xbox One.
Sega
and
did it.
Sega, yeah, exactly. You know, like... And now it's Sony's turn. Sony has been pretty conservative and smart, yeah, even with the PlayStation 3, with their systems. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, actually, the PlayStation 3, yeah, that's
the
a good
cell.
Example. Like, oh, look how much the PlayStation 2 sold. So let's make this weird processor with all these non-standard units, and it's really hard to program for, and people will do it because we're cool. And what did they say? Yeah, PlayStation 3 is expensive, but, you know, people will go get a second job just to buy one.
That's what they said.
They said that back in, like, 2005.
Wow.
When it was announced there was a $600 model. Oh, yeah, they did.
So well, there's some hubris.
Yeah, so they got cocky. They did something stupid. And then they did a lot of smart things with PlayStation 4. Although I don't think they did things as necessarily that smart. Microsoft did them dumber.
Yeah. Yeah, but they kind of, like, lurched into the lead thanks to Microsoft's mistakes.
So now we have the PlayStation 4, which is the top-selling console of the generation by a large margin, like almost 2-to-1 over the Xbox One. And it's also the fastest-selling console in history. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter what, you know, it'll sell over 100 million units, it'll be huge. Better than the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
So Sony's like, well, what shall we do? Oh, I know. Let's make another version of this console because... That makes sense.
Well, yeah, they can go and sell them all again to those 36 million people that have already bought PS4s. You know, that's probably how they think.
Yeah, because then the PlayStation 4 will end up on the resale market, so there'll be more units out there. And everybody on YouTube bitching about it is going to go buy one. I'm not, because I don't give a flying F about it.
But we're going to bitch about it on a podcast. How's that different from bitching about it on YouTube?
Because I'm not going to bitch about it and then go buy one.
Well, neither am I, but, you know.
Okay, so here are the proposed differences. So, it's basically kind of like a upgraded PlayStation 4. The CPU, the PlayStation 4 had 8 Jaguar cores. God, I hope it's not the Atari Jaguar.
Yeah, you'd think they'd avoid that name, but...
Oh, it's a term for an AMD chipset.
Yeah.
Anyway, 8 cores at 1.6 gigahertz. Anyway, it's going to be those same cores. They're just going to be overclocked up to 2.1 gigahertz. So the big boost is with the GPU, which, of course, is still on the same die. There was 18 Radeon GCN compute units at 800 megahertz. Now there's going to be 36 of them and at a faster clock speed as well, 911 megahertz. That's pretty significant. Although I don't think it's significant enough to actually get them 4K gaming. But we'll talk about that a little later, the 4K stuff. Same amount of RAM, 8 gigabytes of DDR5. However, the bandwidth is a little faster, about 25% more bandwidth. Plus, they're going to free up more memory for the games, basically releasing it from the operating system. Apparently, the games only get 5.5 gigs, which means 2.5 gigs is just used by the OS. WTF.
Wow.
It's insane. I think Xbox One is just as bad.
Yeah, probably so.
Okay, yeah, so this is it's definitely a boost. But then are they going to have like Neo-specific games, I guess, or a Neo mode in new games?
Yeah, from what I've read, not that I've read much about this, but what little I have, it sounds like basically games will still be PS4 games, essentially, but developers can choose to kind of have a Neo version of them, but there won't be just Neo games. Haha. You know, they say that now. We'll see.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't know, the things where I first saw this online was I was on Twitter and somebody had retweeted like this article where it was basically like developers being pissed off about this. And so that was where I kind of came into it and started reading. But it's like, yeah, now essentially developers have to like develop their games for two platforms, kind of. And they have to QA them, test them. You know, it's just basically there's more work, more cost on the development side, more time. And what are you really going to get out of it in the end? Like, what's the consumer going to get out of this? Which is what the real question is.
Well, I guess the consumer gets slightly better graphics with the Neo version.
But the thing is, like, the PS4 has already got the best graphics of the consoles in this generation. So it's like essentially you're competing against the PS4.
Well, I mean, it could be that the Nintendo NX is actually going to be competitive with the PlayStation 4. Maybe. I still don't think it will be, but maybe Nintendo is going to throw a Hail Mary and actually make, you know, something that's better than either of the current consoles. And maybe this is PlayStation's way of hedging their bets. I don't think Sony really needs to worry about that.
No. They've got such a lead already that...
I mean, I think it's just money. They just need money.
Mm-hmm.
So PlayStation 4 is the most successful console this generation. It's the fastest selling console. But that's one product in Sony's entire corporate portfolio. Everything else is doing badly.
Yeah.
Oh, except for their financial and insurance sectors, which has nothing to do with electronics. So if you're Sony, you're like, okay, well, we're selling these $300 consoles as fast as we can, they're flying off the shelves, but they're $300. What if they were selling that fast and they were $400? I think it's just a way to generate more income for what is probably a fairly cost negligible change.
Probably.
We're talking about silicon that's over 3 years old now. It's probably not costing them anything more to do this, but they can tack on some more to the price.
Do you think like part of this, like this is something I thought about with it anyway, do you think part of this might be that if you look at other consumer electronics out there, people have kind of gotten conditioned, like, you know, with smartphones or tablets, they've kind of gotten conditioned that like, oh, I have to buy a new one of these every 2 or 3 years. Like, you don't have to, but people have kind of gotten brainwashed in thinking that they do, you know, so do you think in a way Sony's kind of trying to... can, you know, bring that into the console space, like, oh, this thing's been out a couple 3 years, people might be willing to buy an upgraded version of it.
How old is your television now?
Yeah, my TV's what, 8-9 years old, something like that.
How many cell phones have you bought during that time?
Probably 3 or 4, maybe. 3, probably.
That's why things like Sony's television division are in the toilet, because you buy a TV and it lasts, you can keep it for 10 years almost, you know? Whereas, yeah, cell phones, you know, people generally buy a new one every 2 years, or a lot of times even faster than that. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're necessarily doing it because people have been conditioned for that, but I think they're doing it because they realize if we don't upgrade our product constantly, we can't resell it. Like, the idea of a console is becoming more and more obsolete. Like, oh, this hardware is static for 5 to 6 years. That's... Yeah, I mean, look at Apple. Like, Apple releases a new iPad like every year, and they have more money than God.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's solely a way to resell new stuff to people.
That's
the main motivation, and consumers and developers be damned, because we're the lead SDK now. We're the lead console now. So everyone's developing on our console anyway is the lead. So hubris.
Yeah. So one thing with this, like, are they going to continue to sell the PlayStation 4 and have this in addition to it? So they'll have a $300 one and a $400, or is this thing going to actually replace the PlayStation 4? Because that seems like let's say they do remove the PlayStation 4 and this becomes the thing. Okay, now there's a $100 difference between them and the Xbox One for new people coming.
But they're outselling it 2-1, so maybe they don't care.
But that's hubris again, because it's like somebody goes in and looks at those two things, and $100 is a lot of money to some people. So,
but like we said, like as soon as a video game company gets in the lead, they start doing stupid crap.
I know, but I'm just curious. And then at the same time, let's say they have the PlayStation 4 and the 4.5 there. In a way, the 4 could cannibalize 4.5 sales or just cause consumer confusion. Because it's like, what the hell? There's like two different ones now?
Well, yeah. I mean, traditionally, the price always comes down. And I really think this is a way of like inflating the price back up.
Yeah.
And printing money. Like, look at the Wii, which you always love to bag on. The Wii is literally an overclocked GameCube. Mm-hmm. So that thing was already ancient tech when it came out. And Nintendo printed money with it.
Yeah. But they also brought something different to the table. I think being like, oh, here we've got better graphics isn't enough for
Well, that's the
know,
question.
Lay
like,
people.
So are they going to cost reduce the PlayStation 4 and get it down to like $250.
Yeah, I don't know.
But then that's quite a leap. I think only really enthusiasts would actually opt to spend more money.
Yeah.
And then those, if anyone who cares that much about better graphics, it's probably already just going playing PC games.
Yeah, it's a very, it'll be interesting to see how they choose to market it and what they do with the PlayStation 4. Like, because it just seems like this thing's going to cause more problems than it solves by far. Like, yeah, whether it's in selling it, whether it's in developing for it.
See, the smart move for Microsoft should just be to sit back.
Yep.
And that's exactly what Sony did. Like, I still fully believe that Sony was all ready to do the you can't trade
like
back in games. This is conspiracy theory stuff. I also think Fidel Castro has been dead for 8 years.
Didn't they just interview him like 3 weeks ago or something?
Could have been a doppelganger or
I suppose.
You know,
maybe they
you will be getting
him.
Plastic surgery.
They cloned him with their superior health care. I agree that Sony was ready to do the exact same thing that
but
Microsoft
did it first. Sony saw the reaction and then they quickly turned to 180 and used it against Microsoft. Because I don't think they wouldn't have been so glib about it otherwise. It's like, here's how you share a game with PlayStation 4, and then he hands it to his friend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, remember, Sony is a media company. Like, it's their job to sell you media. They don't make money. Well, shit, they have a lot more investment in anti-piracy measures than Microsoft would.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have a movie studio, they have a recording studio.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. That's my conspiracy theory, is that Sony would have done the same thing, but they saw the bad reaction Nintendo got, and Microsoft got, and they very quickly reversed course. So I would say Microsoft could get some revenge. Like, okay, it's like a game of chicken. Like, I'm not going to get pulled into this halfway generational thing. So Microsoft could turn around, make a cost reduced and smaller, physically smaller Xbox One, which I think they should.
Yeah,
I think just the bulkiness of that thing puts people off.
Yeah, I mean, well, it has no style.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the PlayStation 4 is not exactly a looker either, but at least it's, like, distinctive. It's not just, like, a black rectangle sitting on your entertainment center.
Right, so maybe what Microsoft could do is they could cost reduce, especially if, I can't imagine Sony would be stupid enough to, like, discount the old PlayStation 4 or get rid of it, I mean.
Yeah, But it's interesting though, because it's just like, you know, like your mom and pop going into Best Buy or whatever, you know, to buy a system, and you sit there and you're like, okay, there's a PlayStation 4 for $300, let's say, and then here's this whatever the fuck they're gonna call this 4.5 thing, you know, for $100 more. It's like,
it'll probably be PlayStation 4K, because that's a buzzword.
Yeah, but it's like most people, you know, would be like, well, piss on it, I'm going to buy the cheaper one. And it's like, then what the hell's the point of this thing? Like, it's just dividing your user
Well,
base
look at the name, extent. PlayStation 4K. Hmm. So isn't there a new type of Blu-ray coming out soon or already out?
Yep. I actually took a picture of it the first time I saw it in Best Buy. I'm like, what the hell is this shit?
So
they're like $30 a pop.
4K Blu-rays don't work in standard Blu-ray players. And it's a format being pushed by Sony. And yep. So this new format won't work in Sony's flagship game console. But it will work in the PlayStation 4K.
Yeah, surprise.
Well, if you look at, I mean, Sony obviously knows history. Like, DVD was greatly helped by PlayStation 2. Likewise, Blu-ray, PlayStation 3.
Yep.
And so this is a Trojan horse for a format that nobody asked for, by the way, Sony.
Yeah.
Discs are dead. I know you like to buy discs, but it's done.
Well, and like we were talking before we started the podcast, you know, it's like I should be their target demographic for this thing. Because it's like I'm still the guy that goes out and buys movies on disc. I love movies. I buy shit that I probably shouldn't even buy, you know, whatever. But it's like the price point on those things is just absurd. You know, granted, if volume got higher, they'd probably come
Blu-rays
down.
Blu-rays are pretty cheap now.
But they're like 30 fucking bucks.
Oh, I bought AI on Blu-ray a couple weeks ago.
Which one?
AI.
Yes!
The most underrated Steven Spielberg movie. No, the most underrated movie of all time.
That movie kicks ass. But it's like, I look at it and I'm like, why the hell would I pay like $30 to $40 for one of these? Like,
yeah.
I don't even have a 4K TV yet, but I will before too long, I'm sure. But it's just like, who's going to be rushing out to buy those? Nobody.
4K television is just a gimmick to sell more televisions. Television sales are in the toilet because everyone's like watching on tablets and smartphones and whatnot. So yeah, what they do is like, let's say you have a 60-inch 4K TV like the one that I have. So all that is, it's the same piece of glass that would have been used to make four 30-inch panels. Mm-hmm. But instead of making that, they just have quadruple the size and have it be a 4K TV. It's using existing stuff in order to sell you a gimmick to shore up sales.
Yeah, that's one of the interesting things, too, is it's like I remember back when I bought the TV that I've still got that's, yeah, over 9 years old now, and it was a 60-inch TV. And that was a big part of the sell for it was that it, I mean, it was my first HD TV, but it was also that it's like, I'm getting a 60-inch TV. But now we're into that cycle where a lot of people went out and bought like 50, 55, 60-inch TVs. So there isn't a lot further to go unless you want to spend like crazy money. So like the size of the television isn't really a gain in the sales side of it. So it takes away like one reason to buy a new TV.
Yeah, I mean, so, you can get 60-inch TVs for like $700 at Costco now.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if I were
but
to buy...
But they're not Sony's.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, if I were to buy a new TV, odds are it'll probably be like a 65-inch.
Yeah.
But
I should have waited on mine a few more months.
But it's just, you know, like, that's
high.
One less reason to get one. You know, like, if they had, like, 80-inch TVs out there and they were, like, not insanely priced, you know.
Yeah, that's
then
true. They jump pretty fast past 65.
Yeah, it's
probably because it's entirely different pieces of master glass they use to make it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like Master Blaster.
And the volume's lower on that stuff, so. But, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I just, but yeah, like the last game I played on my PlayStation 4 was, in any sort of significance, was probably Destiny when the Taken King expansion came out.
I haven't even gotten the DLC for Fallout yet. I just haven't gotten around to
it. Wow.
I know. I just, well, up until a week ago. Or, no, 2 weeks ago, I was really, really busy.
Yeah.
Because I had to do that TED Talk and everything. And,
well, and you had your trip and stuff, so.
Yeah. Well, when I got back from that trip, I just got slammed.
Yeah.
But now.
That's usually what happens when you take time off.
Yeah, it sucks. But now I have time to watch Daredevil and update my America's Most Haunted code. And
how is season 2? Because I only watched the first episode so far.
Daredevil.
It didn't hook me like the first season did.
It's not as good.
Yeah.
I almost kind of wish, well, I think they're making it, but I kind of want just a Punisher show.
Yeah.
Because,
well, that's why they introduced him this season, to see how people would react. And then it's like, okay, yep.
He's
we'll
in it quite a bit.
Yeah, it's almost like half him, half Daredevil, from what I've heard.
Yeah, yeah. Strange. This is going to sound weird, but it almost had like too much Scott Glenn. I know that's a strange thing to say.
Okay. Who is he in it?
He's the stick guy. He's the guy who trained Daredevil.
Oh, shit, that's right. Yeah, he was in the first. Yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then non-Jennifer Garner Elektra is in it. But she doesn't wear all black, like a floating head, like in the movie Elektra.
In scenes with no lighting. And
oh, that movie was not good.
Oh, God, it's so bad.
Hey, we should make a spinoff to this not really successful movie. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Let's have the guy from X-Files direct it.
We'll save money on lighting.
God, it was so bad. There was like no lighting, and she was dressed. Well, everyone was dressed in black, so it was like these floating heads. It was like Floating Head, the movie.
Didn't they all have like really dumb names too? Like the characters, they were...
Well, those same names are in Daredevil.
Oh, okay. So yeah. They must just be named that way.
In the context. Scott Glenn's name is Stick. I'd recommend it. I just trying to think. God, I can't believe I'm about to say this. Too many ninjas? God, it's weird things to say.
Too many ninjas and not enough John Goodman. Unlike Speed Racer.
Wow, you somehow brought up Speed Racer again. When rating Speed Racer, many critics marked it zero. Speed Racer was fine.
Yeah, that was one where we watched it for shitty movie night, but it actually ended up being pretty entertaining.
I kind of felt like some people, I guess, talked about Wonder Woman, like Elektra. She like looks like she might weigh 100 pounds. It's like, come on. It's like, how tough can she really be? I'm sorry, but like, you know, muscles maybe, if you want to fight people.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Wonder Woman can do whatever she wants.
Well, Wonder Woman's She's like, awesome. Well, I think Elektra's magical too, or something.
Because, Wonder Woman's like Amazonian, whatever that means.
I thought she was from an island or something.
Yeah, but they're called, like, Amazons, I guess. That's what we're going to find out in the movie next year, because it's going
to... Wonder gonna Woman be like Begins?
Yes. That's what's kind of interesting with how DC's doing it, is they're kind of jumping in, and then they're going to go off and kind of do the standalones to kind of fill in the backstory, instead of, you know, Marvel laying the groundwork and then bringing it together.
So. Okay. I still haven't watched House of Cards, the new season of that.
I've heard from a couple people that it's the best season since season one. Which,
really?
Which wouldn't take much, because two and three were kind of train wrecks at times.
That show kind of painted itself into the corner. Like, really, it's like he should have become president, and then it should have ended. Like, it's kind of like, what was it, Game of Thrones? Like, Game of Thrones kind of feels like they should have took more time. Instead of rushing it, and now they're out of content.
Yeah.
It's like, once Kevin Spacey becomes president, like, what really can happen? I mean, I guess his wife can try to divorce him, which I guess is the new season.
Yeah, I guess it's real. She's, like, really heavily in it, I guess.
You know what it probably is? Like, the first two seasons were like, what if Gerald Ford was evil? And now maybe it's like, what if Hillary had divorced Bill? You know, it's kind of like they're using it to, like, play alternating things from, you know, political history.
Well, that's how they'll stretch it, because then eventually she'll probably run for president in it. Like a couple seasons.
I don't know.
Now.
It just seems like it's I just don't know how much longer they can stretch that show.
Yeah, the first season was really strong, but then, like, the second season, right, like, when they kill, spoiler warning, Kate Mara right away in that first episode in season two, I don't know, that show just lost something there. It kind of, like, jumped the shark a little bit.
Yeah, it kind of went from being, like, All the President's Men / what was another show?
Because, it had the good investigative stuff with her.
Oh, what was that Fincher movie with the serial killer with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Oh, Zodiac.
Yeah, of course, it, you know, it was produced by David Fincher. So, it had that kind of cool investigative reporter angle, and you saw the whole thing was going on, and you know, you could see what he was doing and then what she was trying to find out. But then, once her character was dead, then it all just became focused on, I was like, well, here's exactly all the evil shit he's doing. You know, there wasn't really any mystery anymore.
Yeah, in the first season, too, it had Corey Stoll playing that guy from, like, Pennsylvania that he was trying to, like,
prop up. Mean the bad guy in Ant-Man? The bald guy?
Yes, him too, yeah. And but, like, his character was really interesting, too, you know, because he had, like, these drug problems. He was trying to get better, trying to, like, kind of redeem himself and stuff. And I don't know, like, Yeah, it was more than just like spacey. And then, yeah, basically that guy's gone, she's gone. It's like, it's basically Spacey and Robin Wright and
evil. I don't like Robin Wright's character on that show. She just drives me up a wall.
Yeah.
She's like probably, I would say she's about 70% of a Laurie from Walking Dead.
Oh, I've never watched it, but
okay.
I'm the one person on the planet that has never watched frame of Walking
Dead. It's overrated.
Yeah, I've never seen a frame of that show.
Yeah, you don't need to.
It's been out too long now. There's too many seasons. I'll never do it because there's just too much ground to cover to catch up. So.
Also, oh, you know what? Daredevil does not get his ass handed to him that much in this season. Actually, not really at all.
Yeah,
remember,
see,
like,
that
in the
was
first
cool
season,
in the
that
first
ninja
season.
Just like nearly kills him.
Yeah, he's all beat to shit.
Nothing. Yeah,
Rosario
nothing like
Dawson
that happens.
Has
in
to
this.
Heal him and like take care of him and his place or whatever.
Yeah, that kind of thing doesn't happen.
Yeah, see, like, all that stuff, that's like all good to like character stuff, you know. It's like stuff you should have.
That's why Indiana Jones is, that's why people like him, because in every movie he gets his butt kicked by somebody.
Yep. And the early diehards, especially like the first one, you know, Bruce is getting the shit kicked out of him, he's got his feet cut from freaking glass. He's just like a rack.
In the first Die Hard movie, he was just this normal cop who got his feet cut. And in the fourth one, he's like jumping planes into motorcycles.
Yeah, into helicopters or whatever the hell it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. That was when Michael was
office,
like doing
yeah.
his review of the new Die Hard in the office.
I was watching, because we didn't have to film anything this week because Backflip is at a trade show in Vegas. So I watched. One of my favorite episodes, the one where they go trash the Utica office to get revenge for Stanley.
Oh, remember? Yeah, and like Jim's sitting out yep. in the car with like that yep. fake mustache on
I
it.
Can see his eyes. I have to do something to his eyes.
Well, and then you can hear like Michael in the background when Jim's out there talking to Karen, and he's like, make love to her, Jim!
Save us, Jim! Don't save us! Save us! Run for it, Jim! We will burn Utica to the ground. I need to write a want ad. Sassy black man, big heart, even bigger butt. Oh, I know, it's big butt, even bigger heart.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, God. That is a great episode.
We can make stink bombs or real bombs. No, no, well, maybe. No, no bombs.
Oh, God.
Speaking of bombs, I think this would be a good time to segue into... We were going to talk about, like, why Sony needs money, and it's kind of because they don't know what they're doing.
Yes. So see Spider-Man showing up in Captain America Civil War, for one example.
You mean because they kind of lost him?
Well, because they kind of, fucked up Spider-Man.
Although, you
got to
admit, calling it Spider-Man Homecoming is kind of glib.
That's pretty lame.
Well, I mean, but it's like they don't really seem to know what they're doing. Like, they're doing a Men in Black 21 Jump Street crossover called MIB 23 because it rhymes. Yeah, and they're just kind of really dumb. And then they made Pixels, which I haven't seen,
yeah.
but I'm just going to assume it's terrible.
But yeah, that MIB 23, everybody out there, even if you think you might want to watch that, don't. Because if people go out and watch that and it makes a bunch of money, it's going to create this whole new thing where companies will start being like, what properties do we own that we can start to combine?
Well, they're already doing that. Like Hanna-Barbera announced a cinematic universe. Hasbro wants a cinematic universe. There are so many cinematic universe movies being planned that we are going to have more movies being released in a year than there are weekends to release them.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, even if you just, like, discount all that stuff and just look at what DC and Marvel have coming.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a shitload of movies just between the two of them.
So at Disney, you have one Walt Disney feature animation film a year, possibly two, a Pixar movie a year. So that's about three animated movies a year. Then you have two Marvel movies a year and a Star Wars movie a year. That's six movies right there, minimum. Every year,
yeah,
like they want to make a Transformers movie every year. Paramount does. What else we got? X-Men is getting to that point. They want an X-Men expanded universe because they're doing the same thing that Sony tried, except for they've been successful
at it.
Taking the Marvel X-Men characters that they own and creating a cinematic universe of their own.
Yeah, because they made Deadpool, and now they're going to have, there's a Gambit movie they're working on, and yeah, it's...
And then DC will have, two movies a year going forward?
At least, like, next year they've got Wonder Woman kind of as their summer movie, and then Justice League Part 1 is, like, in November.
Of next year?
Yes.
I know you liked that movie, but I don't know if... I mean, Wonder Woman, I think... will probably work because everyone seemed to like her.
Mm-hmm.
But the Justice League, I think, could struggle. I mean, I don't know.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be all about, I think, how they market it. Because, like, I've seen Batman v Superman 3 times. I think it's a hell of a good time. Is it perfect? No. But I'm highly entertained by it. And frankly, that movie takes chances, unlike so many others out there. So I give it props for that. But whatever. But it's... The thing with that movie, one of its struggles, I realized, was like going into the opening weekend, I was talking with people at work about it, and there were people that, you know, they're aware of who Batman and Superman are, you know, but they're not like ingrained in the comics or even in pop culture with them, and they were confused why Batman and Superman were fighting. You know, they're like, why are they fighting?
Well, isn't it also a pretty silly reason in the movie as well?
Not so much. It actually makes sense in the movie, you know, because effectively, like, one of the things I like in the movie is that it shows kind of how humanity has viewed Superman. Like, the first sequence in the movie, once you get past the credits, is Bruce Wayne coming into Metropolis in the midst of what is the climax of Man of Steel. And it's really neat because you see the movie from ground level, from a different perspective than you saw it in the other movie.
Uh-huh.
And you see all this destruction like raining down on the people of Metropolis. And you have to remember that it's like, really, other than that fight in Smallville, this is essentially mankind's introduction to Superman. That's even how it's like titled. It's like Metropolis's first encounter with the Superman. And it's like a really well done sequence. And that's where, you know, and of course, like, Wayne Enterprises' building gets, like, decimated in the midst of this, and Bruce, you know, sees that Superman's involved, and so then that kind of gets the ball rolling, and then, you know, Superman, he saves people in the world, but then, of course, the media reports some of these other stories in an unflattering light, and so there's this big debate, like, politically about who is he accountable to, you know, all those sorts of things. And Bruce has like some statement at some point where he's like, you know, even if like there's a 99% chance that he's good or whatever, it's like, if there's a 1% chance that he's evil, he needs to be stopped. And so that's kind of what drives him through the movie. And so, I don't know, it's like really good. I think, you know, like...
I'm sure by the time I see it, I will like it more than I would have a month ago, because I have not seen it.
Probably. It's like the rare movie where I know we bitch about how long movies are and we like them to be shorter. I think it should have been longer, actually.
Well, you can get your R-rated director's cut on disc.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could have benefited from probably like another 15 minutes just to like let it breathe a bit more and maybe just expand upon a couple other things. It's definitely a movie that rewards multiple viewings, though, because you pick up on things on the second viewing where it's like, oh, okay, you know, that's, you can kind of start to connect dots and things. But yeah, I think the key for the Justice League movie is that they have to kind of turn the tables out a little bit more, show that it's like the superhero team up, you know, the, all these heroes that, you know, and from whatever your background, you know, they're going to be going after the bad guys now. Cause I heard that from multiple people where they were very confused why Batman and Superman were fighting. And it's like, well, that's actually like a storyline from one of the most famous and best Batman comics, but not everybody reads those.
The Avengers are going to fight now.
Yeah, yeah. So, but the thing is, all of the Avengers, you know, have had the opportunity to have their own movies prove how heroic they are. So now that we're at this point, people are kind of like, well, these guys are all good guys. They're all friends. You know, like, why are they fighting? Whereas this was our first, you know, introduction to Batman and Wonder Woman, and we'd only seen Superman, you know, once before. And so...
At least in this universe.
Yeah, in this universe. And so I could see where it would be, confusing to some people.
Well, especially how they just keep rebooting things faster and faster and faster. Like that Hasbro Expanded Universe, it's going to reboot G.I. Joe again.
Yep.
And it's they just don't give things any time to, like, breathe.
Well, yeah, because Dark Knight Rises was 2012, right?
Yes, so, it was like 4 years, which is the fastest reboot. And it was supposed to be even faster, because remember, it was supposed to be 2015 that it was supposed to come out.
Yep, yeah.
Well...
But yeah, I think the Wonder Woman movie will do good, because, like, her, when she first shows up as Wonder Woman, it's, like, one of those, like, very crowd-pleasing moments where, like, people cheer and everything. Like, she's not in the movie a lot, but when she's there, she's every bit, like, the equal of Batman and Superman. Actually, she's even more of a force in the final fight than, like, Batman is. So,
well, yeah, isn't she, like, magical or something?
Yeah, she's got some sort of superpowers and stuff, and so I'm definitely interested to see her movie.
Well, that got off subject.
Yeah, but, whatever.
Well, there's how Jones feels about Batman v Superman.
Yeah, fuck the critics. That's what I say. I mean, honestly, what do they want? Like, I read so many of those reviews, and they bitch about how dark it is. It's like, Batman movies are dark. Man of Steel isn't as dark as people make it out to be. It's like, I don't get it. It's like, this isn't going to be your happy, lighthearted Marvel shit. It's like, if you want
to, I guess, DC's at least doing their own thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, if they just basically did exactly what Marvel's doing, that would be boring. It's like, people should be happy to have, like,
well, yeah,
different
takes
on the characters.
The new Star Trek Beyond trailer, all anyone does is bitch about how it looks like a ripoff of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So, see, that's where that gets you.
Yeah.
And, people may not like Batman v Superman, but they're certainly talking about it, and, like, nobody's talking about Star Trek.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean, to me, I like having where it's like we've got these Marvel movies where it's like, oh, I can go and watch, like, this new Thor movie or whatever, and it's going to be kind of like fun and, whatever, and there'll be some goofy shit going on, and I'll be entertained, but it's like with the DC stuff, I've always kind of liked the darker aspects of the story.
That's what I found disappointing about Ultron. Like, the marketing made it seem like it was going to be a lot darker.
Yeah.
Ultron was going to kick their ass, and they had everyone dead, but that was just like a dream sequence or whatever in the movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what I would have liked to have seen there, and it's not what we got.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then I think the thing is, if you made, just like Toy Story 3, I always bring this up, but I think Toy Story 3 should have ended with all the toys dying in the dump.
Oh, it would have been, like, fantastic.
It would have been, that's the kind of kids movie they would have made 30 years ago, but nowadays, no, they can't make that because all the kids would be crying. That's not what people would expect.
Well, yeah, you look at, like, Bambi. It's like, you see the mom get shot and killed.
I was watching,
it's like, where that would never happen nowadays.
I was watching a documentary with Jim Henson, and I think it was either, I think it wasn't Labyrinth, it was Dark Crystal. He's like, kids' movies should scare kids. And I'm like, damn right.
Yeah.
But no, that's the thing. It's like, but if people go in and they expect one thing and they get another, that is the ultimate sin a movie can commit.
Yeah, because I didn't see Toy Story 3 in the theater, but I watched it, like, at home, and I was watching that sequence, and it was, like, very moving. They all start holding each other's hands and everything. You're like, holy shit, the balls
cut
on this
to black.
Movie. It's just, like, the balls on this movie, and then it's like, oh, no, here's the bullshit rescue. They're, like, they couldn't even, like, sacrifice one or two of them. It's like, they all had to be saved.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
And really, what kid, what four-year-old is going to give a crap about these 40-year-old toys?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Although then they, like, wash themselves off with a hose, and they're all squeaky new again. And
even
the
Toy Story,
the evil bear just gets bolted to the front of a truck.
Oh yeah,
he should have fallen to the fire. They should have fucking killed him.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see finality, and I want to see death. Yep. Like, look, yeah, Bambi's mom, or Bambi's mom, or Bambi's mom. Yeah, just kill.
Yeah, it's just like, let's have. It's not that everything has to be grounded in reality, but it's like also you shouldn't completely shy away from it either.
So since we've kind of segued to Disney killing everyone's parents, and we also talked about video games earlier, I think we should talk about Nintendo and Disney.
Very well.
Yes.
It's less interesting.
I don't think it's less. Well, okay, fine.
That's fine, though. We can talk about.
But you're also like the only person on the internet who liked Batman v Superman, so.
Actually, you're wrong on that. It's like, I don't know, if you read like internet comments, it's like, I'm not saying people like love it, but it's a hell, I would say there'd be a hell of a lot higher rating than what there is on Rotten Tomatoes if you took what people who paid and saw the movie thought of it. It'd probably be like a 60 to 70%, I would say. Well, and the thing too is like I, just out of curiosity, like when I saw, you know, how shitty the rating on Rotten Tomatoes was for Batman v Superman, I'm like, let's go look at some other things out there. Well, Ultron, 74% on Rotten Tomatoes. That movie is a pile of shit. It's like, but it's got the whole Marvel umbrella over it.
What, Fantastic Four, what was that, like 9% of Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't care about Fantastic Four, so I don't know what they changed or really care, but
yeah.
I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, there's some things in it that are really stupid, but mm-hmm. there's stupid things in Marvel movies.
Yeah. But it's like, it's just interesting. Like, you know, people put so much weight on that Rotten Tomatoes rating, and it's like, I don't know. It's like you go and look at other movies out there, and it's just like, eh. Because, I mean, ultimately, all Rotten Tomatoes is it's just an aggregator where it's like, okay, this review leans positive, so that's fresh. This one leans negative, so that's negative. So it's basically more leaned negative than leaned positive.
It doesn't. It's Metacritic aggregates the scores on the website themselves. Rotten Tomatoes is just, was it recommended or not?
Yeah.
And then it aggregates how many was yes or no.
And when there's one where it's kind of like, it seems like it's in the middle, they actually have to like ask the critic and be like, okay, would you say that overall you would say your review's positive or negative, because you know they might talk highly about some things then negative.
So they have to go back and ask?
Yeah, that's what I've read, I guess, is they'll actually, like when they're not sure about one, they'll actually check with the critic. like if it's 2 out of 4 or 2 out of 5 out of 4 or something. Yeah, it's kind of true, because like I've been listening to this one podcast, it's called like Fighting in the War Room, and it'll, you know, whatever, week to week, it'll have like 3 or 4 of these different like movie reviewers on it, and they all have their own perspectives. It's kind of interesting, but they'll talk about that where it's like even them, with that being their job, they can't see every movie that comes out every year, because there's like 500-600 movies every year. But it's like if you think about that, that means like every week they're watching, like let's say they watch 70 to 80% of the movies, you know, they're watching like 5 or 7 movies a week.
Yeah.
And it's like they're having to take notes during them. They have to like write something about them. It's like it is work. You know, it's like they can't go to a movie just to be like, I want to go here and shut my brain off and enjoy myself for 2 hours.
Yeah, they don't think of it in the terms of, did this movie satisfy my expectation of it, which is what CinemaScore is.
CinemaScore does,
they rate movies based off how they are as movies, which is perfectly fine, but I think there's some dissonance between that and what other people want. Like for a lot of people, does Batman punch Superman? Yes or no? If yes, they're satisfied because that's what was sold to them.
Yeah.
The reason I brought up Mad Max is because the major critical complaint about that video game was that there were a lot of fetch quests. Same thing. If you're a game reviewer and you're reviewing a game every 2 weeks, having to do a bunch of fetch quests in order to finish a game is like a slog. You're like, oh God, I got to do all this repetitive crap to get to the end of the game to get my review. But if you're an average gamer who might buy 4 games a year, that repetitive stuff is seen as added value. Like, here's more content. It's repetitive, but at least it's giving you more to do. And that was one of the reasons people thought there was dissonance on. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember what it was now. When critics rate movies really, really high, it's usually the kind of stuff that general audiences don't like. Movies with low scores are still successful.
Yes.
Games with low scores usually aren't.
Yes. Yeah,
but Mad Max was a case of where people seemed to like it more than the reviews would make you think they would.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Sorry, it took me a while to figure that out. Because you look at like most of these, like well, Batman vs. Superman made a lot of money. Any Michael Bay movie, you know, they just get shit on, but they still make money. Like people will watch anything, but with games, they have a little bit more taste because, you know, it's more money, although not really when you take popcorn into kids into effect.
Yeah.
So if someone sees a 50 Metacritic on a game, they're probably not going to buy it.
I would say that's true. Like, even for me, like, I'm pretty dismissive of movie critics. Like, I mean, I'll, obviously, but, you know, I mean, I might read stuff just to get other perspectives after I've watched the movie, but they don't really sway whether or not I'm going to see a movie. Whereas a video game, like you're saying, if I see, like, you know, five different sites all gave this game that I was kind of, like, marginally interested in shitty reviews, yeah, I'm probably not going to buy it then. But
yeah,
if they,
like,
but if they would have given it good reviews, that would have been the thing to push me into buying it.
Probably. Yeah, because I remember, like, Parker and Chris were all excited about The Division, like, a year or two ago, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's finally out, but not really anyone singing its praises, so I'm like, eh, I'm not going to bother.
Yeah, a bunch of people at work bought that, and to me it sounded a lot like another Destiny. It's like, it's one where you'll probably play the shit out of it for like 3 or 4 weeks, and then you'll just be kind of like, okay, what now, and drop it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just said, eh, I don't need one of those.
Okay, I think we need to get into our third topic.
But we can do your Nintendo thing now.
Okay, so you know how we're always ripping on Nintendo?
Yes, I do know.
Well, I realize that Nintendo is in the same position that Disney was about 30 or 32 years ago as a company.
Yes.
So it's a company that had a lot of former glory, but they got pigeonholed as just making stuff for kids.
So, like, what did Disney make in the early 80s? Because that's the thing, like, I'm even struggling to think of things
they only
they
made
back
like,
then.
Kid-friendly movies like The Computer Who Wore Tennis Shoes.
Yeah, see, it's stuff I've never even heard of.
Right, or, like, Love Bug 3.
Okay.
Those Jodie Foster, Kurt Russell movies, because that was even before
the
early
80s. Oh, yeah, like late 70s.
And then their animation stuff in, like, the late 70s and early 80s, they were, like, doing very poorly.
Yeah, I was trying to think of, like, animated stuff they would have made around that time. And
well, like, it pretty much accumulated. They made, like, The Black Cauldron, which was, like, really expensive, and it was trying to be edgy, but it just failed.
Okay.
It was a huge bomb. Something like, oh, God, they spent more than that in the early 80s than they did on stuff like Lion King. It was very expensive, and it didn't do anything. So then they started to do things differently. You know, they hired Michael Eisner, and he would be on TV. He was kind of like Walt Disney. I remember that from the 80s. Like, oh, it's the Disney, you know, Monday night movie or whatever.
Well, they made the Disney Channel somewhere like late 80s, early 90s, somewhere in there too.
But I think it was the same thing as Nintendo. Like, right now, Nintendo, there are people that just swear by their stuff, but they're still seen as like making stuff for kids.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like what we talk about, like Adam Sandler movie. Like, his fans grew up. He didn't.
Yeah.
And Nintendo's kind of the same way. And yeah, there's always new kids, but these kids don't pop out of the womb with nostalgia for Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Their parents might have had it, but kids nowadays, they don't give a crap about Nintendo. They want to play Minecraft. It's all about Minecraft.
Yeah.
Like, Nintendo could have done that. Like, Nintendo should have bought Mojang, not
Microsoft.
Not Microsoft. Yeah. They should. You know, everyone's like, Nintendo's got $10 billion in the bank, just like BlackBerry did. Doesn't mean squad if you're not doing anything with it or reinvesting it. So, but then if you look at Disney, like around 86, 87, I think the big thing they did was they made Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That was like the pivotal point in their company's history.
It's like that and Little Mermaid, right? We're kind of the 1-2 punch.
Yeah, yeah, because it caused their animation renaissance.
Yeah.
Because animation was like kind of in the dumps. And that's why Don Bluth started his animation studio, is because he was so sick of like how cheap Disney movies had gotten. Like, they wouldn't put the white in the eyeballs. And
oh, geez.
Yeah, they were making the movies just as cheap as possible.
Yeah.
And then when they tried to make one, you know, well-made, like Black Cauldron, it failed. But then with Roger Rabbit, it had all this Disney and Warner stuff. Like, here's the stuff you remember as kids, but we have all the sex stuff. There's violence. There's murder. It made it kind of adult.
Mm-hmm.
And people loved it.
Yeah, and it made a bunch of money.
And it got all these new animators excited again about, you know, getting into the business. And then Disney was able to segue that into all of their hit two-dimensional movies in the early 90s. But being a smart company, they're like, oh, this, you know, this Pixar movie we're making, this is going to end it all. So we better get in bed with these guys.
Yep.
So and then eventually they bought Pixar.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and then the two-dimensional animation went the way of the dinosaur, but it didn't matter because they had built another bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Nintendo's like, online gameplay. We don't need to worry about that.
Yeah, that online shit's a fad.
Yeah, so what if Disney had said, 3D, 3-dimensional kids movies are a fad, and just ignored it?
Bought by, like, Warner or somebody by now.
But instead, they bought ESPN, ABC, Pixar, and they diversified.
Yep.
So even if their kids movies don't do super well, which they didn't for quite a long time, like Walt Disney feature animation, like for a good 10 years was all but dead.
Yeah.
And although now it's come back and it's arguably better than Pixar, strangely enough. But yeah, by diversifying, they were able to do things for the kids like they always were, but now they can also sell to adults.
Well, and they can take risks too.
Because remember, like in the 90s, all those Weinstein movies Miramax, Hollywood Pictures, like Pretty Woman, that was a Disney movie. Dimension, they're like, hey, let's make an R-rated movie that adults will like. Mm-hmm. Because adults buy movie tickets. They diversified, and look at where they are now. But then they got to a point where like, hey, what if we could sell toys to boys as well as girls? Let's buy Marvel. Let's buy Star Wars. Yep. And now they have it all. They diversified, and they took chances, and they went beyond what they were originally known for. They can still fill that market, but now they have these new markets.
Yeah, and it's funny, too. Like, if you look at Disney and, like, kind of where all their revenue comes from, it's like movies actually aren't that big a part of it anymore. You know, which, again, it allows them to take risks and do things. But it's like stuff like ESPN is, like, a very significant part. It's something crazy, like 20 or 25% of the company is ESPN.
Really?
And it's like...
So oh, like, is that why when ESPN has declining ratings, it's a big drop on their stock?
Because they're such a big chunk of it.
Well, I think all these companies are going to have to prepare for a day like when there's no cable. Or like the last thing breathing on cable will be sports.
Yes, yeah.
But the thing is, that's not going to carry cable.
But then if you look at, like another thing Disney did well, again, getting into your point with like their diversification of things is the lovely corporate buzzword that I hate is synergy. Because you saw it last year with, like, I don't really watch sports, but, you know, talking to people like, leading up to Star Wars, ESPN, like halftime shows of games and shit, they'd debut some new TV spot or a new trailer for Star Wars. And it's because, well, guess what? Disney owns ESPN. So they're like, we'll advertise for free on our own, you know, networks that we own. And, you know, they leverage all that so you can't get away from it. And, yeah, I mean, that's basically how Star Wars is going to be now. It's like you just will not be able to escape it. It's going to be everywhere because there's a new movie coming out every year, at least one. It's going to be like the final 2 to 3 months of every year. You're just going to be inundated with it. It's because, you know, they own all this stuff, so they can just, you know, leak it in all over the place. So,
I mean, if you look at where Nintendo is now and, like, their cash reserves, I guarantee they're in a better place than Disney was in 1985. Mm-hmm. Like, if Roger Rabbit had failed, it could have killed their studio. I mean, it was the most expensive movie ever made at the time, but it didn't.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Nintendo has the money. They could be doing what everybody else does, which is buy studios, buy developers. And people complain, oh, you know, EA, Microsoft, they only buy those companies to shutter them. And, yeah, that happens, but at least they're doing something. They're, like, acquiring companies. Mm-hmm. It's like, if that's the silver bullet that everyone talks about. Like, if Nintendo could, you know, sell all their diehard franchises and also have games that, you know, the core gamer would like, they'd be killer. I mean, of course, then the thing is, like, why don't they just go third party and do things for other consoles? And
yeah.
I guess we'll have to see what the NX does. But I don't know. Yeah. They
seem just too set in their ways, really.
Yeah.
Although, like, I noticed in the last month, you know, like, because we've talked about it before on other podcasts about them needing to start branching out, and they are starting to dip a toe a little bit, it seems like, because I saw they brought out some, like, Miitomo app that's on, I think, iOS and maybe Android, and then they, I don't know if it's out yet or it's coming out, but they're making, like, a Pokemon trading card game. You know, those are, like, very, like, easy ways to kind of dabble in that space. You know, I mean, obviously they haven't brought Mario to iOS yet, but, you know, that day is probably coming. But at least, you know, like, those are little signs that maybe they're kind of opening up and being willing to branching out.
Yeah, I gotta imagine that, you know, eventually they'll have new management that's like under the age of a million years old and try some new things.
Yeah. Like you say, you know, they're sitting there with $10 billion or whatever. It's like, well, they could have went and bought Mojang. You know, they could own
You could put Mario stuff in Minecraft.
What's that?
You could put Mario stuff in Minecraft. Yeah. You could use a Minecraft editor to make Mario levels. And
yeah, because it's like, you know, we're at the age where we have a lot of friends, you know, that have kids that are, you know, they're not like toddlers anymore. You know, they're like 8 to 12 years old or whatever, you know, and what do you hear from every single one of those people? It's like their kids play Minecraft,
yep.
and they can't get them away from it. It's like if they're not playing it, they're watching YouTube videos of other people's stuff that they've done.
And then Nintendo shit cans YouTube videos of their games.
Yeah.
They actively bring them down unless you sign up for their program. It's like protection money from the mob. Whereas you have like Microsoft, a smarter company, and they're like, let's buy this company.
Yep.
And that's what you do. It's like even when you have money, you buy companies that are the future. And
Well, that's the thing also.
Like, no reason Nintendo couldn't have done that.
Well, once your company gets to a certain size, too, it's like easier to do acquisitions to expand your customer base than to try to go off and develop it new. You know, like Microsoft, they're like, we're just going to go and buy Skype instead of like trying to develop our own thing. It's like that's already a brand name. People know it. You know, it's like, well, just go buy it. And, you know, Apple's starting to do that. Google's been doing that for quite some time. You know, it's like...
I'm sure Nintendo acquires companies, but it's nothing, anything major, and you never hear about it if they do.
Yeah.
And they can do that. I mean, they're not Sony. They don't have, like, negative, you know, billions of dollars in the bank. They should be doing that kind of thing. They need to be investing in the future, not resting on the laurels of their past.
Yeah, because otherwise they will go into the red at some point. So
yeah, like, you know, maybe you could have like a Grand Theft Mario or something. Like Mario Begins. It's, can you imagine if they did that? I mean, I think people would actually really go for that.
Yeah, because like
it's
an something. Open world,
it's like Deadpool.
Mario.
It's like, give us something new.
And that's the thing, like, because I saw Deadpool, I was kind of reflecting on it. It's like Deadpool wasn't even really anything all that new, like story wise. But it's like it threw in R ratings, or it threw in swear words, and it had, you know, some extra violence. But I mean, ultimately, the story of that movie is kind of boilerplate superhero shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it threw in profanity, had the violence, and then the big thing with that movie that I really liked about it is how much it broke the fourth wall. That was like the really great thing with it, because I think we might have talked about it before, but like there's the part where they're going to take him to the X-Mansion or whatever, and he's like, so who are we going to see? Is it McAvoy or Stewart? Because I'm like really screwed up on the whole like timeline thing. And then when they're back at the X-Mansion, they go in there, and the only two X-Men that are in there are the two that he met out on this bridge. And he's like, oh, so you guys couldn't like afford any more than just two X-Men, huh? And, you know, like there's just like a lot of shit like that that's really great. And but it's like, yeah, they took a chance and it paid off. And sometimes they don't. But
I think Nintendo just seems to, like, you know, step back, think about other people than kids, poke fun at themselves, and just Nintendo needs a Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I don't know what that would be, but.
But yeah, I mean, like, if they, yeah, like you said, you know, Grand Theft Mario or whatever, kind of jokingly, but it's like, yeah, let's say they made like some sprawling kind of open world Mario game, you know, where he was kind of like a fish out of water in it or something almost. It would
like
intrigue
maybe,
me.
Maybe Mario loses his job and has to become a plumber in New York, and then
basically they just take our Mario Cop podcast and they make that with Mario in an open world. It's like, I would be intrigued.
You know, that's happened before with things where they take... Oh, look at the Nintendo N64 game that everyone loves, Conker's Bad Fur Day. They took a friendly, fuzzy squirrel and they turned him into a drunk asshole. And it didn't sell worth a damn, and maybe that's why Nintendo's gun-shy about it. But nowadays, that's what people love. Like, all the Nintendo fans who thought the N64 was the greatest thing since sliced bread, who are now like 30 or 35, they adore that game. Because it's like, oh, here is Nintendo stuff, but it's made adult.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I like their, you know, animation style and stuff like that, but it's just, the games themselves I don't really care about, but it's like,
It's just like, yippee, oh boy, coins. It's like, or what about Dr. Mario, but he's like Dr. Meth Mario. He is Mario meets Breaking Mario. maybe that's a bit too far.
It's like, you can't tell me that people wouldn't be into, I mean, you wouldn't have it be meth or something, but it's like, you know, look at all these, like you say, all these people that grew up with that shit. It's like, well, they're older now and they all like loved Breaking Bad or whatever. And you can't tell me people wouldn't.
Yeah, young kids do not care about Nintendo, or they have no nostalgia for it, at least.
Yeah, it's like the people I know at work that have kids, you know, it's like, what do they have? They have Xboxes and PlayStations. Yeah. They don't have Wii U's.
But if you had some sort of well-made game that was like a subversion of Nintendo properties. I guess we were complaining about Sony earlier making Men in Black 23 Jump Street or whatever. At least they're trying something. It sounds stupid as hell.
It might work, though. You never know.
But it's better than not trying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Everything else they've done hasn't worked worth a shit for quite a while, so they're probably like, eh, what the hell? We'll give this a rip.
You know, probably part of it with Nintendo is the Super Mario Brothers movie was so bad that probably made them pretty gun-shy about any sort of cross-media or transmedia projects since then. But that was a long time ago.
It was like almost 30 years ago. You know? It's like...
It's not their property's fault that they hired a first-time director, co-director, husband and wife. Sounds like the worst idea ever.
Well, and the thing, too, with that movie is that was during that unfortunate time where they were trying to take, like, these animated, like, or toy properties or whatever and set them in the real world.
Although that worked wonderfully for Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, but, like, Masters of the Universe, bomb. Mario was a bomb. Yeah, I guess Turtles... Worked.
And think about it. How cool was it when the Ninja Turtles swore?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like, oh, my God, they swore. That's the thing. It's like Nintendo just is all squeaky clean. And like, when you're a teenager, that's the stuff you think is cool.
Yeah.
You don't think Mario, like, handing people flowers is cool. Like, Mario swearing would be cool. Fuck me! If you had, like, an E3 trailer... And it was like Grand Theft Mario.
Yeah.
And it was like, and then like a slutty Princess Peach walked up. He's like, fuck me. It would be like, you know, there would be like applause across the room. Because it's like, finally, do something with this. You know?
There would be applause. And that would be all you would see like across gaming sites, like social media related. It would just be like nuts.
Even if people would hate it, you know. But there's only one thing worse than being talked about badly, and that's not being talked about at all.
Yep.
So that's what you used to do, Nintendo. Make Grand Theft Mario. So what do you think Nintendo should do? Let us know in the comments below. Any closing thoughts, Jones?
Grand Theft Mario.
Grand Theft Mushroom.
Like I say, I would at least be intrigued. I'd be like, I don't know if it'd be enough to get me to buy a console.
Like, if they're like, oh, here's Super Mario Galaxy 3 or Super Mario NX. Here's a trailer. Would you click on it?
No.
I wouldn't. But if it's like, okay, Mario is now like this chain-smoking, drunken asshole, unemployed plumber in New York, and he has to fight an underground syndicate of turtle mutants.
Yeah, the Koopas.
I would click on that. I would watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's new. It's different.
Yep. Yeah, it's like they've done... kind of the traditional stuff to death. So yeah, they need to branch out, take some chances.
All of Mario's gaming history is just a dream. He dreamed it. Then he wakes up in his real life and he's a crappy plumber with a bad job. It's like 1982, like set it in the past as well. So you have a really, really dirty New York City.
Yeah. I mean, like say, it's like I would click on that.
It's like the whole gaming history was just a lucid dream. It's like, look how clean I am. I'm collecting money. And he wakes up and it's like, oh, man, my union's still on strike and I can't make the rent. And my wife, Peach, is cheating on me. It's my brother, Luigi. Hey, Mario, you owe me money. God, it sounds like we're describing the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah.
That's basically what that was like. Okay, that movie's a piece of crap. But I think it at least started okay. Like, they're plumbers, because they were.
To me, just the whole core problem with that movie is just that it was, like...
horrible?
But it was just set in the real world. Like, you had Dennis Hopper playing Koopa. It's like, the thing is, if they made the movie today, Koopa would be, like, you know, some CGI thing. It would just be better. I know people hate CGI, apparently, but it's like, it has its uses. Something like that, you could make, like, a really cool CG Koopa... You know, like, there's just things at the time that, you know, either they couldn't do or they didn't want to spend the money to. Because I guess Who Framed Roger Rabbit proved that they could have done those things.
But Roger Rabbit had a solid script.
Yes,
I mean, they basically just copied Chinatown, but it was solid.
And it had Robert Zemeckis directing it.
Yeah. Not whoever the bozos were that directed.
Yeah, whoever the people are that never directed anything again.
It was a first-time directing duo, husband and wife. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's just not a good idea.
Can you imagine, like, trying to argue with them? Or, like, yeah, terrible, terrible idea.
Yeah, be like, go ask your mother, basically.
I don't know. Ask your mother. Ask your wife. Ask your wife if the shot's okay.
Yeah. Run it by the committee. But, yeah, so, yes.
PlayStation.
I would rather they make something like that, though, and put it on my Xbox or PlayStation, though.
Grand Theft Mushroom.
Because who the hell wants to buy, like, three frickin' consoles?
Okay, so how could you make Star Fox, like, dark and gritty? A dark, gritty reboot.
So would it be like a Top Gun?
Top Gun in space with animals.
Yeah.
That's pretty easy. Oh, yeah, it's another planet where instead of, like, different races of people, there's animals. And they all, so there's, like, rabbits and frogs, and they can talk.
So Star Fox is, like, Maverick, and then... there's got to be some sort of Iceman.
Oh, and there has to be like a sexy fox who can be like the woman that he goes after. He has to have like a space motorcycle.
See, this will be the new kind of remake. What? I don't even know what the hell you would call this. It's like, well, we're just going to take the... I guess they've already done it with a lot of things. But
dark,
it's like,
gritty reboot of Star Fox?
Yeah, it's like, well, we're going to make Top Gun dark and gritty with Star Fox.
Falco would be like Iceman because he's always being mean to Fox.
There you go. Who's Goose?
Goose is Slippy, the toad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because remember there was a rabbit, a toad, a fox, and a falcon.
Yeah, I never played that
game. Wouldn't the falcon try to eat the toad? Actually, the falcon would try to eat all of them.
Wow.
Maybe that's why he was a jerk, because he's like kind of like, he flies around, he's above everyone else, literally and figuratively. Maybe there's a lot of deep symbolism in Star Fox.
I guess.
Just dark, gritty reboot of Star Fox. Meets Battlestar Galactica, like this army of robots is attacking their home planet. And then you have to have a part in the movie where Star Fox is like being shot at, and then the rabbit is dead, but it's kind of like Star Wars where he likes use the force, Luke, but instead of that he's like, do a barrel roll. Yeah. What else could you make a dark, gritty reboot of with
I don't know if you have to make it dark and gritty, but like I know you always used to talk about how they should make like a Zelda movie with like Will Smith in it. That time has passed, but you'd have to cast somebody else now, but still.
I think a Zelda movie, if it was done right.
It could work.
If it was kind of like Legend, but had a script, maybe.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
Yes. Or you could do like Legend of Zelda, or you could just make a dark, gritty video game where it's like Lord of the Rings, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all there. You know, it would just depend on how they'd want to take it. Because, I mean, like, Link to the Past, you had kind of like the light side world and the dark side world. You know, you could do something with that.
So maybe Link touches a unicorn and it causes Tim Curry to turn into a devil.
Oh, God.
How did that work?
I don't even remember. That movie was so god-awful.
God. That is easily the worst Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah. I still swear he was just lost on the way to the set to Top Gun. Because he just saw director Scott, and he's like, this is where I'm supposed to be. And he just, like, wanders in, because he's, like, leering at clouds. Like he's
Maybe you should explain that joke to the audience.
Oh, okay. Well, you see, Legend and Top Gun, they're both made right around the same time, roughly, and they were directed by brothers. Ridley Scott directed Legend, and Tony Scott directed Top Gun. So, you could see how Tom could get confused because he was in both movies.
Yeah, it's like he sees a slate, it's like, director Scott. Oh, yeah. This is my stop.
Yep.
Then he gets off the bus, he's like, where do I go to be a star?
And then he's like, why is this, like, Mia, Sarah, or whoever the hell it was... why is she here? I thought, like, Kelly McGillis was my woman.
Well, I'm here. I might as well film this piece of shit.
Like, well, I guess they're paying me.
Why is there shit flying around in every scene? What? Can you imagine, like, and Ridley Scott, he gets a bag of shit, and he, like, throws it in front of a fan in every one of his movies. If you watch Ridley Scott movies, an ongoing theme is there's shit flying around the screen. Like, in Legend, it's fairy dust.
Yes.
Well, between Legend and Labyrinth, there must have been a severe stripper glitter shortage in the world.
Those were dark times at strip clubs.
So, like, Mario in our reboot goes into the strip club and is like, Hey, Bertha, why aren't you all glistening and shiny? I don't know, Mario. There's some sort of stripper glitter shortage. You better go find out in this subquest. Subquest added. Like, Mario goes to England. He's like, hey, Jim Henson, what the fuck are you doing? Those crystals are for my girl. And then David Bowie's like, forget about the baby.
So that'd be like a really awesome fetch quest.
Yeah, he has, there's like a pipe, and he goes from like New York to England. It's like, whoop, whoop, whoop. And like this fist comes out of the toilet. It's like, the toilet explodes, and Mario's there like on the set of Labyrinth.
Oh, so he can travel through the plumbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
He can like teleport through plumbing.
Yeah, just like, I guess in the game, he goes through really big pipes, so... And there'd be big pipes going under the ocean. You know, obviously
like you know how they have the transatlantic cable? It's a transatlantic pipe.
Shit pipe.
What else does Nintendo have that could be remade? I mean, they only have, like, what, three franchises? Yeah. Oh, well, they got Metroid.
Oh, yeah.
Easy, just make an Aliens ripoff.
Yeah.
Done.
Easy. And, well, yeah, it's still, I guess, Aliens had a female you know, hero. This would have a female hero. You know, because that's the big thing now. You can't be like a, you know, man in a movie anymore. It's got to be women. So, you know, that hits that dot.
What else do they even have?
They got like Pokemon, but I mean, that's just like animated stuff. But I mean, still, they could do it.
Okay. Pokemon, you make a ripoff of King Kong.
Like, all they have to do with Pokemon is go to Pixar and be like, hey, we want to, like, work out a deal.
Actually, they're making a big-budget live-action Pokemon movie now. I read that
last week.
Yeah, I guess. I'm sure that's one of those things. They're probably going to wait to see how well the Power Rangers movie does, and then they'll probably pull the trigger. But so if I was doing a Pokemon movie, there would be, like, the Skull Island. Skull Island!
Oh, God, that's right when Adrian Brody's, like, typing it or whatever.
So, this kid goes to, like, he's his kid, and his father's, like, this monster hunter. And, like, we're going to go to this island filled with monsters. And so you do all these really, like, frightening versions of Pokemons, like these gruesome monsters. And then kind of like King Kong, at one point, Pikachu, who is, like, this, like, this mute brute... He likes the kid, right? So he's like King Kong. So he protects the kid from the other Pokemon, and they fight. And then he takes Pokemon back to America, and then, like, people are throwing, like, sticks at him and rocks because they don't understand him. And then Pikachu, like, has lightning come out of his tail and stuff, and he murders half of New York, and then he has to go into exile. What do you think?
So all of our ideas for Nintendo movies are just like, well, take this other movie and... do that.
And then New York is involved somehow.
Yeah, because New York always has to be involved.
How about this? How about the enemy in Star Fox is a super advanced race of humans that have become cyborgs? So it's actually 200,000 years in the future, and we're all basically robots.
Okay.
And we've become like the Borg, like we don't even look like humans. And that's like the twist ending, like Star Fox is like, rah, bah, 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 bah. Oh wait, I guess he'd talk in the movie. it wouldn't be like the Super Nintendo. And then he would be attacking like the evil planet, then you see like what's left of the Statue of Liberty, like, oh, it was us in the future, we're robots.
And Charlton Heston's on his knees like...
Oh, yelling. maybe the humans destroy the planet... and turn into robots to survive, and all of the creatures evolve. So, like, the frogs and the foxes
evolve
to become, like, smart, and the falcons and the rabbits. And then they're exiled from Earth, like the Cylons, and then they're trying to get back. So that's why. Because think about it. Like, why couldn't other creatures have evolved like humans?
Oh, yeah.
Because they just didn't evolve fast enough when we started eating them, I guess, right?
Well, they could discover all of our old shit, and then that's how they could, like, learn or something.
So every humans turn into evil robots. Every other creature on Earth is killed except for frogs, rabbits, foxes, and falcons. So those four creatures...
Conveniently enough.
Yes, those four creatures with fewer natural predators are able to evolve, and that's where the Star Fox team comes from. And then there's space battles.
It really writes itself.
Yes. Why wouldn't anyone come up with that plot? It seemed obvious.
I can't believe they didn't make this thing Wow. I don't know how we're not on like the fourth or fifth sequel.
These monsters used to be humans. Do a barrel roll. All right. Well,
obviously, Nintendo will be on the right track by listening to what we have to say.
I like the Star Fox one better than the Mario one just because it's so freaking out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, your Guardians of the Galaxy of the Marvel world. Like, people are just like, what the hell is this? But it succeeds.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and then it would be like the hot furry cosplay item for the next 10 years.
It would.
Yeah.
See, it's like Jesus of Copy Mat said in Jerry Maguire. Sometimes you got to put your balls out there. That's what you got to do, Nintendo. You got to put your balls out there.
The balls are in your court, Nintendo. All right. Well,
wow.
That was episode 90 of the BenHeck.com podcast. And we shall see you next time.
Adios.